Sunday afternoon, Lady Shia. We're going to be learning a few Shira Mantanya. We finished Chavis Halvada Shar HaBechina, and we'll be starting Mitzvah Shem and Elul Shar Chesh Ben HaNefesh and Chavis Halvadas. And in the interim, we'll be doing a few Shira Mantanya. That was the decision. So here goes Tanya. Okay, today's Shira is being learned Lili Nishmas, Reb Chaim Ephraim, Reb Nosson. Really, it's I'm somewhat neglectful of me. Really, all the Sunday shiurim are Lili Nishmas Reb Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson, because the Shafers very graciously gave their house for many years for the shiur, and we used to announce before every shiur started that it was Lili Nishmas Reb Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson, and then I stopped doing it, and then even more graciously agreed to not have it in the house, which, if you understand the human psyche, you'll know that that's a bigger godless than having it in your house is not having it in your house, giving up that schus. So certainly today, tonight is the yard site of Reb Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson, but really all this year, in a certain sense, are Lili Nishmaso, and I've neglected to speak it out, but as I always say, I'm not Hashem's accountant. So if the shiur has lasted so long, it is thanks to the Shafers, and we appreciate it. It's quite interesting that we have someone else with us today who's chiefly responsible for this shiur. I won't embarrass her by saying her name, but we welcome her, and she is really also responsible for this shiur. And it should be a schus for her and everything she needs in life. And it's wonderful to see her here today. So we're talking about Reb Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson and Mrs. Manrick. So that's like, wow, today is really a fresh start. That's wonderful. So we decided we're going to learn Tanya for these interim weeks. And if there's a groundswell of demand, who knows what will happen. Very, very briefly, hopefully, around 250 years ago, a movement started called Hasidus. And if you want to adopt a very parva, non-political attitude towards Hasidus, I could make a case that all Hasidus try to do is fulfill what the Chavis Halvadas talks about in the whole Sefer Chavis Halvadas. Because Hasidus said, listen, Hasidus sounded like the Hakdama to the Chavis Halvavus, which was, right, Hasidus started 250 years ago, the Chavis Halvavus is written over 1,000 years ago, but they're talking about the same problem. We've fallen, the problem in Judaism, in Yiddishkeit, we're talking Torah mitzvahs Yiddishkeit, of course, is that there's so many mitzvahs, so many averus, that we tend to fall into the ritual of the mitzvahs. And that's not what it's all about at all. And Chavis Halvavus says things that in Shar Avodas Elokim that we learned, that if they would be coming out of the mouth of a rabbi now, and you would see it out of context, you would say it's a conservative rabbi talking or a reform rabbi talking. That the mitzvahs are a stepping stone to serving Hashem with your heart. Hasidus was a mass movement. I'm not Rabbi Wein. I'm not going to go into the history. I take back the words of mass movement. It became a mass movement. But Hasidus, again, you listen to Rabbi Wein's tapes, how much of it was a picker-upper from the devastation in the Jewish world after Shabsi Tzvi. The Jewish world was almost devastated. Devastated after the Shabsi Tzvi story. And again, there was a lot of, it was felt that there's an elite of learners and of people who fall into ritual. So Hasidus really started as, was a movement of Avoda Belev, which is really what the Chavis Halvavus is all about. And it stresses Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and the Sefer Tanya that we'll be learning is primarily concerned with the conflict in a person between his Nefesh Abahamis and his Nefesh Eloki. That is a constant struggle, constant conflict, and how to deal with that conflict, and how to emerge victorious from the conflict. And you never really win, because it's also called Sefer HaBeinonim, as we'll see, and he's talking to your average Joe or Sally in the street, that you never really conquer it. You're always struggling. It's a struggle. Maybe you're not a Beinoni anymore. Once you conquer your inner conflict, then you move up to being a tzaddik from a Beinoni, as we'll see how the Tanya defines those terms. He has a very unique way of defining those terms, as we'll see in the beginning, in the first parak. But another name for Tanya is Likutei Amorim. We'll see in a moment why. Likutei Amorim means a collection of essays, we'll say a collection of statements, really. And it's also called Sefer HaBeinonim, because we'll see there's a tzaddik, a Beinoni in Russia. So a Beinoni in the Tanya's world is not, well, I'm not a tzaddik, but I'm not really a Russia either. So I guess I'm a Beinoni. No, that's not the Tanya's world. The Tanya's world of Beinoni is someone who does everything correctly, but he has inner struggles, and sometimes he wins and sometimes he loses. But when he does something wrong, he does tshuva. Because if he doesn't do tshuva, he's a rasha. We'll see how this develops. And he feels bad, but he's constantly struggling. That's the Beinoni. So the Chassidus really came to deal with Avodas Halev, with Chovas Halavos, really. Tanya is the Sefer Tanya, as it's called, by the first word in it. It's popularly called Tanya after the first word. It's considered the Torah Shebiksav of Chassidus. By everyone, even those who are not Chassidei Chabad, which stands for Chochma Bin Adas, but Tanya is by all streams of Chassidus, the Torah Shebiksav of Chassidus. It's really not kosher to Chassidus as we know it today. One of the irony of Chassidus today is that whereas Chassidus started off as primarily a movement to stress Avodah B'Lev, today when Chassidus conjures up images of Chitzonius, right? How they dress, how they act, how they do things, and like what happened, wait, that's not what Chassidus is all about. It doesn't matter how you dress. And really, Lubavitch, to their credit, you know, they dress regular. I mean, they have a certain, they don't dress modern, but in style, but they, because really Chassidus, it's almost ironic how Chassidus became primarily Chitzonius when you look in the street, but the movement was a movement of Lev, not of Chitzonius, of what kind of Levush to wear. The Tanya has nothing to do with Rebbes or Chassidim as we know it. As Chassidim, we think of a Rebbe, and you go to a Rebbe, but that's not what it is. Chassidus was a movement of Avodas Halev, serving Hashem with your lev. And the Tanya is really a sefer in itself. It's not really, it's a sefer. It's a classic work of Jewish thought, of Jewish philosophy, and it's not really kosher. It's not inherently kosher to Chassidus. It was written as the Bible, so to speak, of Chassidus, because Chassidus came to emphasize and to strengthen Avodas Halev, but it stands on its own, the Tanya. It's not like a Masnagid should be learning Tanya also. It's one of the classic works of Jewish thought, of Jewish philosophy. Chassidus starts off with the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov, 250 years ago, we'll call it. Baal Shem Tov has a Talmud called the Magid Mimizrich, the Mizrich Magid. And Rav Shneur Zalman Miliadi, the Baal HaTanya, was a Talmud of the Mizrich Magid, like the grandson, so to speak, of the Baal Shem Tov. His real Rebbe was someone else, but that really became a leader of Chassidus after the Mizrich Magid. But he moved to Eretz Yisrael. I forget his name now. Menachem Mendel, something like that. Moved to Eretz Yisrael because of persecutions, and then the mantle of leadership fell upon a few people, and that's when the splintering of Chassidus started. But Rav Shneur Zalman was Miliadi is really a major leader of Chassidus. He's a Talmud of the Mizrich Magid, who was the leader of all Chassidus after the Baal Shem Tov. In fact, I don't know if it's true. It's not true. A joke is he was a genius, the Baal HaKlanya, a Torah scholar. His first work, by the way, is called the Rav Shulchan Aruch. He actually wrote a Shulchan Aruch. He was asked to write a Shulchan Aruch, you know, like the Mishnah Brura, because, you know, things were getting out of hand. The Shulchan Aruch was almost like obsolete already, because so many commentaries and so many new shilas and so many questions and so many sfeikas. And he was asked by his Rebbeim, by the Mezuzah Magid, really, to write a Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote a complete Shulchan Aruch, and it's called Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and that's why he's sometimes known as the Rav Shulchan Aruch. And tragically, most of it was lost in a fire. And we have Orachayim and parts of Chosha Mishpit and parts of Yoredeya. But he wrote a complete Shulchan Aruch, an amazing, amazing scholarly work, which is quoted and used by everyone. It's a Sefer Halacha up there with the Chaye Adam, with the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Brurah, constantly bringing down from Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And one of his names is the Rav Shulchan Aruch. If you don't want to sound Lubavitch, you'll call him the Rav Shulchan Aruch, not the Baal HaTanya. But his first work was a regular Talmudic, halachic, litvisher work, we'll call it. They say over, it's like, it's a Hasidish story maybe, that he had a choice, really. He had to choose. There were two centers of learning that attracted him. Vilna, where the Vilna Gaon was, and Mizrich, where the Mizrich Magid was. And they say over in his name that he already knew a little how to learn, but he, Bechlal, did not know how to daven. And that's why he chose Mizrich over Vilna. That's what they say over. He was just, I'm not giving a biography of him, just he was so against Napoleon. He really foresaw what happened. Napoleon, with the emancipation, he thought it was terrible, 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 and he davened for and backed and did things for the Russian army when Napoleon invaded Russia. He was in Russia. And he felt that Napoleon is terrible for the Jews. Everybody thought it was a big Yeshua. He thought it was a terrible tragedy for the Jews, and ultimately, in a sense it was, you know, Hashem maneuvers history, but it broke down the ghetto walls. And our comfortableness, our comfort of living with Goyim and having the Goyish world influence our world is really, it was always to a degree, but it completely started, like after Napoleon and the emancipation and freedom, quote unquote, the ghetto walls came down and we started having a tremendous shaychus to the Goyim and being influenced by the Goyim. And as we see now, that's tremendous. So he was very much a backer of the Russian army against Napoleon. And he ran away, actually, as the French army invaded, and that's how he died. As the French army invaded Russia, he ran away, and he was with the Russians, and he died in that running away. That's how he met his tragic death. Okay, so he wrote the Sefer popularly called Tanya. It actually, the Sefer is five parts. It's what we, Likutei Amorim is its official name. It's popularly known as Tanya. He gave it another name, Sefer Shel Beinonim, the Sefer that teaches Beinonim how to live. He wrote it to the common man. He felt this is what the average person can achieve, and he's going to guide the common person in Avodas Hashem. So it's called Sefer Shel Beinonim or Likutei Amorim, popularly known as Tanya. There's really five parts to the Sefer: Likutei Amorim, Igeres HaTshuva, Shar Yichud VeEmuna, Igeres HaTshuva, Igeres HaKodesh, and Kunshas Achron. But everybody, we talk about Tanya, that's the most commonly learned part. The Tanya is these 58 Prokim or whatever it is. Okay. Now, once we're learning Tanya, we have to be Hasidim. So the minig is to learn the title page, because he wrote the title page, and every word counts. So probably no one brought a Tanya, not even in a brown paper bag. Maybe I said I would, and I forgot that I said I would. Okay. So I'll learn the title page. Sefer Likutei Amorim, which is the official name of the Sefer, and he will say in his Hakdama
that this sefer really captures the essence of various audiences he had with various people. When you go into a rebbe, when Hasidim went to their rebbe, they called it yichidus. You go in for yichidus, one-on-one. And you went for lessons in Avodas Hashem. You would tell the Rebbe, listen, I have a problem with anger, or I have a problem with kinna, or I have a problem concentrating during davening, or I don't really have Avodas Hashem, or, you know, you would discuss your private Avodos with the Rebbe. And he would teach, and he would teach you what to do, give you suggestions, and this is and he writes it. And he writes in his Hakdama, which we'll learn in a moment, that the movement, he stopped having time for everyone. He couldn't handle the amount of people who wanted to have yechidus with him. And that's why he wrote the Sefer. And this Sefer is like you're having yechidus with the Rebbe, with the Olatanya. He says, you're going to capture in this Sefer questions people have. And even though there's all different types of people, but he's going to put into the sefer hadracha. It's an amazing thing. It's like saying, I'm going to write a sefer that whoever has questions will be able to read this sefer, and if they delve into it and learn it properly and understand it, the sefer will be madrich them, as if they're sitting in a room with me and I'm teaching them what to do, which is like utterly amazing. I don't know if you can do it without Ruach HaKodesh, but that's not really relevant to us, but that's what he writes. So this is a sefer of Likutei Hamorim. It's a collection of things he would say, and at first it came out in Kuntresim anyway, and they would pass it around. Then he took everything together and printed it up. Chelek Rishon, because I told you there's five parts, I'm reading from the title page. Hanikra b'seim shefer shel Beinonim, and he will define the Beinoni in the very first perek. And as I say, Beinoni is not, not a tzaddik, not a rasha, you're a Beinoni. Beinoni is your average person who struggles. The Beinoni is struggling between the nefesh Bahamas, the nefesh of a person that left alone needs to eat, needs to drink, needs to involve itself in Olam Hazeh, wants comfort, and that struggles with the divine. The Nefesh of Bahamas pulls you down, and the Nefesh Eloki pulls you up. But one of the Yesodos of Tanya is to overcome that struggle. One of the Yesodos of the Sefer, as we'll learn, the Sefer is 58 Prakim, is that ultimately the struggle is not won by conquering the Nefesh of Bahamas, but employing it as an ally. Making the Nefesh HaBahamis the ally of the Nefesh Elokis, and using whatever kolchos the Nefesh has, even the Nefesh HaBahamis kolchos, using it in the service of Hashem. And that's, but it's so Hanikra b'sefer Likutei Hamorim, Chelek Rishon Hanikra b'seim shefer shel Beinonim, Malukot mipi Sforim umipi Sofrim. This is his humility. He calls it a likut of other svarim, kadosh elyon nishmos and eden. Chassidim say that this is a reference, besides the classic works of Tanakh, Gemara, etc., and Zohar, Arizal, and very much the Maral. He was the seventh generation direct descendant of the Maral, and Lubavitch and Maral people get along, because there's a lot in the Sefer that's al derech ha-Maharal, and he borrows a lot from Maharal, and there's really a lot of Maharal influence in the Sforim. So this, like I say, the Shlah, and at times the Maharal really comes very, very close to Kabbalah in many parts of the Sefer, and he says he does. He like goes right up to the edge of Kabbalah, because the Maharal doesn't look at Kabbalah as a voodoo magic. The Maharal looks at Kabbalah just as you're getting even deeper and deeper and deeper, and when you cross a certain line, it's like you have different levels of the earth. So when you get even deeper, it's called Kabbalah, but it's just deeper and deeper understanding of Torah. Understanding, that's all it is. So the Maharal wasn't scared of Kabbalah. I'm not talking about Madonna's Kabbalah. I'm talking about the real stuff. So morale really veers into Kabbalah many times, and the Sefer HaTanya and Chassidus Bechlal borrows a lot from Kabbalah. And what Chabad does, and really the Baal HaTanya does it, is they bring it down to earth. You know, after discussing perhaps esoteric concepts, and I learned my Rebbe in Tanya is Rabbi Elkan Shlita, and an amazing Gaon. And at the end of every discussion, he would say, you know, what does that mean in our daily lives? What does that mean? How does this translate into our avodas Hashem? What, you know, you talk very esoteric concepts and very deep concepts and Kabbalistic concepts. He always brought it down to earth at the end of the shiur. He said, so what does that mean to us? What are we now going to do? What should we now do differently because of these esoteric ideas that we learned? Miyusad, and then he says an amazing thing. Miyusad al-Pasuk, it's really based, like, the goal of the Sefer is to achieve the following Pasuk in Chumash. The Pasuk says, this is all on the title page, Kikora ve'lecha hadover ma'od b'ficha u'b'levavcha la'asoso. The matter, and it's talking about Divrei Torah, understanding Hashem, understanding Torah, is very near to you. It's something very achievable. It's not, oh my goodness, how am I ever? It's korov eilech. It's very near to you. And he sees in the pasuk the three aspects of what humans do. The picha is dibur. That's okay. I don't know. Thank you. Beficha is dibur, ubelavavcha is machshava, laasoso is maise. So it's near to you. It's achievable. Both you can control and direct your thoughts, your speech, and your actions to Hashem and to Torah. And kikor veilecha. It's very achievable. And I'm going. And that's the goal of my sefer. The goal of my sefer is to show you how this pasuk is true, how all these, how this is really an achievable to be close to Hashem and to achieve avodas Hashem b'dibur b'machshava u'b'lev. And he's writing it for the average person, to say for shalbein on him, to the common man. I mean, you know, it's achievable. He doesn't want anybody, and he's talking to us. You know, saying, ah, this is for tzaddikim. No, it's not for tzaddikim, it's for Benonim. And that's Bedavka, what he wrote for the Benoni. Then he says an interesting phrase on the title page, Bederech Arucha Uketzara, which literally means that he's going to teach it to us in a long and short way. Now, what does that mean? That's a phrase taken from a story in the Gemara. Arucha Ketzara is long and short. The Gemara tells a story that Rishua ben Chananya, that he says he once met a child, one of the children of Yerushalayim, and he sees that there's two paths to take to get to a city. He's at a crossroads. He asks the child, which path should I take? So the child says, this one is Ketzara v'Arucha, and this one's Arucha u'Ketzara. This one is short but long, and this one is long but short. So Rishua ben Chananya says, you know, I'll go with the short, but I don't even know what it means. I'll take the short path. So he takes the short path, and it's very short. It's a shortcut. But he can't get into the city. There's growth there. There's vines. There's plants. There's trees. And he can't make his way through. So he has to make his way back, and he takes the long road, but the long road is clear and takes you right into the city. Then he understood what the child meant. So what does he mean here? He's not giving us shortcuts to avodas Hashem. That's what he says. He's teaching you aderech arucha uketzara, the other path, the second path. You can do ketzara v'arucha. You can get inspired, and you can, you know, I could inspire you. Let's say I get inspired to avodas Hashem, and I'm enraptured, and I'm all excited, and I love Hashem, and wow. And then tomorrow, it's gone. It's gone. It doesn't last. And this is, Chabad is really the very intellectual Chassidus. Again, there was no Chabad yet when Tanya was written. Tanya is extremely high level intellect, and that's the pshat arucha katsara. You have to struggle to you have to think about these ideas. It's the thinking man's, thinking woman's chassidus. You have to think. Again, it's not really chassidus. Nothing in the sefer that screams the word chassidus. It's a classic Jewish book of philosophy, of avodas Hashem, really. If I wanted to be cute, I would say this is the handbook of how to achieve what the Chavis Halavos teaches us to do. Arucha Katsara, though, he says, I'm not offering you shortcuts in avodas Hashem. I'm not offering you a shortcut in avodas Hashem, and I'm not offering you a shortcut to Yiras Hashem. No shortcuts, because the shortcut ends up being Katsara v'arucha, because then you lose it and you have to retrace your steps and start all over again. So I'm doing it b'derech arucha katsara. Just those three words, he alludes to that Gemara, obviously, and this is what the pshat is. The pshat is, it's arucha, it takes thinking and thought and contemplation and introspection. You have to know yourself, and there's a lot of discussion in the Sefer about kochos hanefesh, where your heart is really at. And sometimes you have to go down into your subconscious mind, and you know, things are tugging at you and you don't even realize it. And it's not easy to achieve clarity in what your deep motivations are. And so it's a derech arucho katsara, but I'll get you there. Bezus Hashem is Barach, and in Chassidim and Yael, Bezus Hashem is Barach both goes on his writing of the Sefer and on people's achieving what they want to achieve. They can achieve it, Bezus Hashem, and I'm writing the Sefer Bezus Hashem. So that's what he wrote in the title page, Sefer Likutei Amorim, Chelek Rishon, Hanikra B'Shem Sefer Shebali Nonim. So, okay, so we explained that. And now we're ready to start the Sefer. No, I'm sorry. No, we're not ready to start the Sefer, because we're going to read the Hakdama. Even though I don't know how many weeks we have left, so we might not even start the Sefer. But it's very important. I think it's important that anybody that teaches Tanya learns his Hakdama, his introduction, where he explains. And really, just like when we learned Chavis Halavos, we felt it important to learn the Hakdama, where he bears himself and he says, this was why I wrote the Sefer, and these were my thoughts as I wrote the Sefer. And he really tells us his inner struggles, his decision, yes to write, not to write, who do I think I am? And then at the end he says, like, as soon as when I picked up the pen, I said, what am I doing? Who am I? What am I doing? And then he realizes the Yetzirah talking. I mean, he really bears himself in the Hakdama. So the Tanya, as we'll call him, the Balatanya means the author of Tanya, writes in his Hakdama. I'm not going to read every word. No one anyway has a text. And he says, okay, here's the issue. Certainly, learning from a sefer cannot be like learning one-on-one with a person, with a Rebbe and a Talmud. For two reasons, he says. He says, there's two reasons. He says, Ein adome shmias divrei musa l'riyu kriya besvarim. You know, if you're talking to someone, and he knows you, and you know him, and you're discussing avodas Hashem, how could learning from a sefer compare? The sefer has words, and whoever reads it, he says, is going to understand as much as he understands. The Sefer can't take you by the hand and explain to you what it says. You're going to understand the words of the Sefer the way you understand them, with your Seichel. And if your Seichel is limited, that's how you're going to understand it. And if your Seichel is Mavulbal, he says, if you don't have a straight thinking seichel, it's going to be very hard to understand what it's very hard for a sefer to teach you something, even if the sefer is wonderful sefer. Second of all, he says, when I'm talking to you, I can adjust my words to who you are and what your nature is. and I know what pushes your button, what speaks to you, what you're really, you know. And everybody's different. Every person in the world is different and has a different personality. And he brings out from a Gemara that you make a special bracha if you see 600,000 Jews together, because nobody's the same, right? We know, no two people have the same fingerprints. But the Gemara says no two people have the same mind. Everybody's mind works differently. And it's an amazing nes. And he brings out from a Ramban in the Gemara Brachas that we just read this yesterday in Parshas Pinchas, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Hashem to help him choose Ish Asher Ruach Bo. And Rashi explains, Sheyochol, what does it mean, Asher Ruach Bo, who has spirit in him? Rashi says, Sheyochol Lahalech Neged Rucho Shel Kol Echad Ve'Echad. A Jewish leader has to be able to talk to all different kinds of people, and has to be able to understand where they're coming from, and what issues they have, and you know where they're coming from emotionally and psychologically and their history. This is very, very. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked that. Sheyochol lahalech keneged ruach shel kol echad ve'echad means someone that could deal with different kinds of people and deal with each one differently. So he says, so how can you learn from a sefer? He says, even when you learn from the Torah, people end up interpreting it differently and understanding it differently, and you have machloksim. And the Torah speaks to each person individually. The Torah is the Torah. So each person has his chelik of Torah, the same chelkeinu b'soro secha. And Hillel saw the Torah his way, and Shammai sees the Torah his way. And but that's not everybody can achieve that. Not everybody will be able to look at the Torah and understand it, like using, you know, what the Torah is really saying to him. So if it's that way in Nigla, certainly it's that way in the more Nistar parts of Torah, which are not so Beferish, which are not so clear. And Nistaros Hashem Elokeinu. So how can you learn from a Sefer? So he says, on the other hand, what happens, I used to call in people, how people used to come to me, and they used to be Shail Eitza and Avodas Hashem, and I took notes. After I talked to them, I took notes. And then he says, you know, we ran out of, there's just too many people. I can't keep this up. There's not enough time for everybody. So I'm writing this Sefer. And he said, now he writes that he's writing the Sefer for people he knows and people who know him. And they each will be able to see in it as if they're sitting by him and he's answering their questions, their personal questions. Those are the words in his Hakadoma, that he's writing it, B'yoidai umakirai, people that know him and he knows them. Hasidim say that the Sefer is written with Ruach HaKodesh, and he meant everybody. That everybody could see in the Sefer their personal path to Avodas Hashem, and it won't have the problems we just spoke of. He put into the Sefer, I don't know how to do it, so I can't even describe it. He put, I mean, Lahavdil, I won't say Lahavdil, it's like, a second grader could read a pasuk in Chumash, and the Vilna-Gaon can read a pasuk in Chumash, and the Arizal can read a pasuk in Chumash, and they're all seeing the same pasuk, but it speaks to each one. Like the child has his gishmak, and his, and he, the child says, "Wow, I understand this pasuk," and his face lights up, and he's, yeah. And the Vilna-Gaon sees in the pasuk everything the Gemara says about it, and like he sees in the, you know, he sees everything there. And I'll say the Vilna-Gaon just as an example of Nigla, even though the Vilna-Gaon was a Gaon in Nistar also, and then you could see in the pasuk the secrets of Torah. You ever read the Ramban in his introduction to Chumash? He describes the esoteric side of Torah, how each stroke of the pen means something, how each crown on each letter means something, and there's gematrias, and the whole world is contained in the Torah. All the secrets of the universe, every aspect of existence. This is the Ramban talking. Ramban in his Hakdama to his Perush on Chumash, he writes, Torah contains everything in the world you could find in Torah if you know how to see it. So, that's the Baal HaTanya saying, I did something like that. The Gemara is like that, right? Because you could have a sixth grader learning Gemara for his first time, and the Rebbe explains it well and he understands it, and then you have the biggest Talmid Chachamim learning Gemara, and everything, and everybody in the middle, and they're each seeing in the Gemara what they're capable of achieving, and they're all feeling the Gemara speaking to them. That about, this is a bigger trick, the Tanya, because the Tanya is talking about Avodas Hashem, and that really has to, you would think it has to be tailored to each individual mamish, but the Baal HaTanya writes, listen, I can't have Yechidus anymore with everybody that wants it. There's only 24 hours in the day. He doesn't write that. That's my phrase. There's only 24 hours in the day. So he, but so, he said, so Hasidim say, when he says V'yoydai umakirai, he means everyone, every Jew. The words are, he wrote this for the people he knows already and people that know him. So you choose what you want it to mean. But everybody agrees that even if we set us, this is a very important point, everyone agrees that setting aside the idea that this Sefer is Yechidus with the Baal HaTanya, put that aside, it's a remarkable work of Jewish philosophy, and it could be learned on its own, just like the Chavis HaLvavos is learned on its own, and the Mesulas Yesharim is learned on its own, and any Jewish, it's a classic traditional work, it's accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, and it's a classic work of Jewish thought and philosophy and theology. So we don't, even if you think he literally means Yodai Umakirai, that this will be the equivalent of an experience of Yechidus with him, with the Baal HaTanya. So even if you don't believe what Hasidim say, oh, it means every Jew in the world. But it's a sefer. It's a remarkable sefer. It's a heavy duty sefer. It's a must learn if you want to be well versed in Jewish philosophy and theology. This is one of the classic works that's on every Jewish bookshelf. So it almost doesn't matter what he means, because you know you may see in it answers to personal issues, personal struggles in Avodas Hashem. Again, it's not going to come in the first parak. This is a sefer with 58 prakim. So that's what he writes. So, yeah.
So if it's such a classic work on every Jewish bookshelf, so, I mean, the Sefilas Yesharim women learn, Havas Havlavos women learn, why is there an issue with women learning Tanya?
Why is there an issue with men learning Tanya? Why don't you ask that? Why don't men learn Tanya? Because, first of all, it's very, very hard. Not everybody is zochet to have Rabbi Yael Kahn giving shir in Balad and Tanya. He came to Munsi. That's first of all. Second, that's even for men. Second of all, it's become associated with Hasidus, and it's become associated with Lubavitch. So even Hasidim don't learn Tanya. So like, strike one, strike two. And it's unfortunate and sad, but, you know, if people want to learn it, there's printing houses that put up, you know, Kahat, which is the public. No, there's like other publishing houses which they publish their Tanya, so that people who want to learn Tanya don't have to buy from Lubavitch the Tanya. They could buy, you know, they could buy Tanya that's been regular printed Tanya. Women, you know, what am I going to say? Men don't learn it. You want to know why I hesitated 100 times before? Because it's very, very deep. And it's true, nowadays women are deep, have deeper minds than men. It's true, I'm still getting used to that. You have to forgive me. Even though my wife, certainly, I'm married so long, I should realize it by now. But it's like I would say, what are you learning Tanya for? Let's learn Mesilas Yesharim. Let's learn Chavis HaLvavos. Let's learn works that are easier to understand, easier to implement. Why learn a work that borders on Kabbalah and is very, very deep? So that's strike three. So I'm answering your question. One is it became associated very much with Hasidus. You know, there's nothing in the book at all about Hasidus, except if you interpret Hasidus as being Avodas Hashem. So that's wonderful. Then I want to be a Chassid too, right? Number two, it's become associated with Lubavitch specifically because they consider themselves the Yorushim of Chabad, as this has become known, and they so that Chochmas Chabad. Chochma Bina Das. And for women, it's because, like, whoa, what are you, like, learning this for? Yes. Did you finish the other works? That's the answer. But we're learning it. Hey. Okay. Now, the first. Then he says, if people don't understand it, oh, you're going to like this. He says at the end that if people don't understand the Sefer and they don't see what I want it to be, like Yechidus or the Rebbe, they should go to their Mashbiyim. They set up a system of Mashbiyim. They still have it in Lubavitch Mashbiyim. They should go to their Mashbiyim in each city. And he says, I don't want the Mashbiyim all of a sudden to become humble and say, oh, what are you coming to me for? What do I know? He says, cut it out. People are coming to you for lessons in Avodas Hashem. Teach it to them. So if you don't understand something, go to the Mashbiyim in each city who do understand the Sefer and ask them to teach it to you. Okay, don't prava false anivus, he says. Lo losum yod lepeh, not to cover your mouth with your hand, figuratively speaking. V'shiflu shel sheker, and a false humility. I guess this is where the idea of sheyafutzu, ma'inasechachutzu comes from. That you do have to teach it, and you're teaching Avodas Hashem. That's not a time to have, let's say, false anivus. Okay, we'll start a few words of Perek Aleph. The first few prakim are boring, ladies. It's boring. It sets up the Sefer. You know, again, it's 58 prakim. So the first word is Tanya. Again, everything here is replete with Kabbalistic references, and there's so much talk in Chassidus Sforim about why he chose to start with the word Tanya, because really the Gemara that he quotes, there's two girsos. One is Dorosh Rav Simloi. Rav Simloi made a drasha and then went on to say the quote he's going to give. And then there's a girsa. Rav Simloi is an Amora, it's called. An Amora is not a brisa, is a Tanoic work. And Rav Simloi is an Amora. So there's two girsas in the Gemara. So he chose Tanya. It just doesn't have the same ring if it would be called Dorash, right? Tanya, that was a joke. Tanya resonates better. But there's all sorts of explanations that Tanya is a Mida. Okay, we're not going to go into that stuff. Tanya b'sofer gimel d'nida, that when the soul is about to enter the body, mashbiyim also, it's put under oath. Tehitz, and this is what the Gemara says, and the Gemara is like very difficult to understand, as you'll see yourselves. Tehitz tzaddik v'al tehi rasha. Okay, that's number one. Number two is v'afilu kol ha'olam kulam omer mocha tzaddik ata. But even if everyone calls you a tzaddik or thinks of you as a tzaddik, or if you think of yourself as a tzaddik, yei be'inecha rasha, you should think of yourself as a rasha. Now, well, like, it's strange, and anyway, it's a complete contradiction to what it says in Pirkei Avos. Tzorech lahavin dotnan in Pirkei Avos. Bays, that's his coming week's Pirkei Avos. Al tehi rasha b'fnei atzmocha. A person should not think of himself as a rasha because of the consequences of thinking of yourself that way. We know if someone thinks of himself as a bad person, his actions will follow how he sees himself. It's very dangerous to think of yourself as a rasha. And that's what it says in Mishnah and Avos. So what does this Gemara mean? Even if everyone thinks of you as a tzaddik, you're not supposed to think of yourself as a rasha. The gam, imiya bein of karasha, if you think of yourself as a rasha, yeira levavo, v'yiyya otsev, you'll get depressed. You'll feel, oh my goodness, this is it. This is what I am. I can't achieve anything more. I am what I am. Terrible. Hashem is mad at me. I just can't do it. I can't break out of the cycle of behavior that I'm in. Which is a very big part of Avodas Hashem. You'll walk around depressed and you'll walk around sad. You'll say, yeah, what did I do already? But I'm, look what I did yesterday. And if you think of yourself as a Rosha, then even when you do mitzvahs, you will never achieve simcha, which is terrible. And what we said a moment ago, Vimlo Yeira Lavavu Klal Mizeh, and even if you, if it doesn't sadden you and depress you, oh, then you're in bigger trouble. Then you'll think of yourself as a Rasha, and you'll say, okay, if people say, sometimes you hear people even say, listen, this is what I am, and therefore this is how I'm gonna act. And this is why they tell you in parenting not to, how you describe your kids, you gotta be careful, because they might believe you. And then they'll act out the way you think of them. So he says, you're caught between a rock and a hard place here. Besides, you know, if you think of yourself as a Rasha, either you'll get depressed and saddened, and you won't be able to be over to Hashem B'Simcha. And if you don't get depressed and saddened, then you're really in trouble, and it'll lead to all sorts of deviant behavior, because you'll think of yourself as a Rasha, and you'll start doing things that a Rasha does. So how are we to understand this Gemara? That, first of all, the contradiction. Second of all, Chal, what does it mean? As we said, it's very detrimental to the human soul to think of itself as a Rasha. And stop the whole statement. Be a tzaddik, don't be a Rasha. But even if everyone thinks of you as a tzaddik, you should think of yourself as a Rasha. Okay.